Hi, everyone. This is Kimberly.
And this is Katie.
And this episode is called What They Saw.
Well, you're also listening to A Date with Dateline.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is our third time doing this intro because my program froze. I can't do it right every time. What do you think I am? A professional?
This is A Date with Dateline. I'm Katie.
And I'm Kimberly. Did I say my name before?
Thanks for listening. Bye, everybody. Okay, we did it. Nailed it.
This was called What They Saw. Bye. What did they see? We don't know.
No.
They saw things. What they smelled. I don't know.
What
touched.
I don't know.
I feel like more senses should have been involved.
Oh, okay.
Like, they saw things and they heard things. I almost feel like what they heard is more important than what they saw. So I kind of feel like it should be called what they heard.
But I'm going to go back to this. And do you feel like what they saw and then there should just be like pictures of like wood in half?
Because I'm going to go back. A worst pun ever that you're making.
Uh-huh.
Okay. No. I don't feel like that.
I can't think that the sound of a saw right now. That doesn't sound like a saw at all.
Not at all.
No,
nor
not
is that fun for a podcast. So in case you missed it last week, we had some big news. These two professional podcasters are going to be at CrimeCon this year with a booth table. It's a table with two chairs.
Correct.
And we're going to be there in CrimeCon New Orleans. I've been told very clearly how to pronounce it.
New Orleans.
That's how you say New Orleans is wrong. New Orleans.
Did you get flack for Nolans? Did you get flack?
I didn't get flack because they knew I was honestly asking the question, and they very respectfully said absolutely not.
Please stop.
You can't, but you can say NOLA.
Because NOLA's like LA, right? Was I right? Because it's the abbreviation.
NOLA's okay. New Orleans, no. So like lean, like Keith, which you want to say because he's leans.
New Orleans King.
That's bad.
All right.
Nolans, very bad. And so you're supposed to do like New Orleans, like New Orleans. Lens, like lens crafter.
Got it.
That's how, okay.
We'll be ready. Like, that's all we needed to know to go. So
no, that's all. We don't even need tickets. We just have to say it properly and then we'll be transported there.
We'll be fine.
But please come and visit us. And if you buy your tickets for CrimeCon, use our code DATELINE19 because it gets you 10% off and it really helps us out too. So please come because we don't want to be sitting at this table. And like, I talk to Katie all the time. I mean, I guess I could sit at a table and talk to you in New Orleans, but...
New Orleans.
You said it right.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
I have totally to think did. About it so hard now each time. It's really stressful.
Just think Lins. Just think L-I-N-S. New Orleans. Like, take out the spelling. Don't visualize the word. Or visualize the word New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's...
Oh, my God.
That's my best bet.
Could they have picked a different city, perhaps, that was less stressful for me?
Like Chicago.
Yeah, like that I know. But then I would have said Chi-Town, and then I'd be kicked out, because I don't know if you're supposed to say that.
Yeah. But this episode is good because it's Dennis is Enough.
Yeah, love Dennis is Enough. So it's called What They Saw, with a saw, insert saw noise here. And
I should have looked that up.
Yeah, you really should have. Yeah. It's fine. Isn't it like...
That's a chainsaw.
Like pulling the chainsaw.
You're thinking of whomp, 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 whomp. That's a chainsaw.
Well, what's the difference?
So a saw is just...
Oh, just...
Right.
No, that's still not the right noise.
I'm going to find... I will find the
Alaskan
noise.
Alaskan bush people, they saw a lot and...
Where's my pen? I'm going to find the noise. Good. Let's go.
This episode aired on February 1st. I forgot to write down the thing because it wasn't on my thing. So
it's going
to
be season 27, I think episode 22.
Sure.
That can't be right.
Did you just make that up?
I did. How close am I? I did. Look it up.
Let's find out.
Season 27. I said 22.
Let's see. What, do you want a prize if you're right?
Baron Balloon.
That seems like a pricey. You're close. It's episode 20. 27, 20.
Got it.
There we go. And, oh, it aired on February 15th. I think I might have said February 1st because
you did and
disappeared.
You did and I just left it. I thought you knew something I didn't. I was like, oh, all right. We'll just keep going with that.
I knew something about the timeline of the world, the calendars, and the Mayan calendar. So this episode starts out pretty B-A-N-A-N-A-S, I thought.
Yeah, that took me a minute to figure out what you were spelling. But yeah, I thought you were trying to spell B-A-D-A-S-S. And I was like, yeah, it did. And I realized that wasn't the word you were spelling. But yeah.
Well, first of all, they break the fourth wall immediately.
First, do you think this was Dennis's idea?
I want to say yes. He was trying to change things up. Like, he's stretching his creative muscles.
And he got me. I'm not going to lie. I was hooked. Yeah. It's like the first 2 minutes. And I was like, yep. So tell everybody what happened. It's really good. I got it really excited.
We see the slate. Uh-huh. You know, what a TV slate is, mm-hmm. or a movie slate, you know, a slate. And the cameraman is behind Dennis, and Dennis is sitting there. And then you hear the director asking Dennis if he's ready. So it's full on fourth wall broken.
Mm-hmm.
And which I like. They started doing it more on, what did they start doing it more on? Teen Mom.
Well, they do it in The Office. But The Office is a fake reality show.
No, but The Office, they don't really talk. Oh, at the end.
Yes,
of
the final season with Pam and the guy. Yeah.
That was terrible.
Everyone hated that storyline. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was bad. So this is how the episode starts. So we break the fourth wall immediately. Shattered glass everywhere because the wall was made of glass, I guess. And then
Dennis went through the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Was that what you were trying to do?
I don't know. So he just... He Kool-Aid manned right through that fourth wall.
Oh, yeah.
So then, okay, Dennis is sitting with accused murderer, we know right away, Jared. Okay, imagine this is a play and this is how the play starts.
Mm-hmm.
Lights go up. Mm-hmm. Two men are sitting there. Man one, Dennis, says, Jared, thanks for sitting down with us. Man number two, Jared, says, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. Man number one says, did you take a butcher knife and plunge it into Sierra's neck and kill her while the kids were waiting outside? And that's how the play starts. No, did you find the place okay? It's unseasonably cold this time of year. Nothing.
Zero chit chat.
No, he literally, boom, did you stab a knife into, in the most graphic way, plunge it into Sierra's neck.
Can I say the most appropriate pun there ever was, which is he goes straight for the kill, as it were.
He goes straight for the jugular.
Good.
Better.
Both good.
But jugular is your neck, right?
One is better. I won't say which.
Mine.
Both good. Strong choices.
A+. I couldn't have done mine without yours. You loosened the jar, the pickle jar, and then I opened it.
And then you drank the juice. Okay, yeah. That's good. We got it. Nailed it.
Okay. So, 2012 in Georgia, a maintenance man finds Sierra Ingram.
Right, but then that's it. He asks that question. He says no, and then we go into the story.
Exactly. It's so weird. He's definitely trying to shake things up.
But it's the point in the play when you grab the person's next to you leg and you're like, oh, this is going to be good. Yeah, that's the moment. And he created that. Dennis, I'm impressed.
But is this the way we're supposed to be greeting people now in 2019? Like, if I see someone I haven't seen in a while, run into them at Starbucks, and I go, hi, Julie, how are you? And she's like, oh, hi, Kimberly, how are you? And then I go, is it true that you're going through a terribly messy divorce?
Yes, because this is the year, it's 2019. You always tell the T in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time for the chit-chat. Just get to the T.
And I'm not going to lie to you, it would work so much better if it was 2020.
There you go. Yeah, I see what you're
that
saying.
That stinks. Okay, so maybe this is the precursor to the year of the T.
Okay, so in 2020, you won't even say the hi, Sarah, good to see you. Hi, Kimberly. No. It'll literally be, hey, Sarah, how's that sleeping with your trainer going?
Yeah.
Well, your husband is sleeping with your sister. Like, okay, I got it. I'm here for it. I love the drama. So Sierra Ingram is a 28-year-old wife and mother. She is found dead, and she's been dead for nearly a week, like 6 days.
It is 6 days? Okay.
It is. It's okay. Exactly 6 days, which is so shocking to me. And I have thought many times since I live alone.
I know.
You know I think about it.
I know.
How long would it take for someone to find me?
0 minutes, because your mother would call me and I would be in the
car.
No,
but I don't talk to her every day and she knows I get busy. So she just keeps leaving messages.
It would not be more than 48 hours, I don't think.
That's
48 hours would be the maximum. Because I do now speak to you every day.
Right.
And I would start to get worried. And I'm a worrier.
Right.
And I'm also a level 10 worrier. So yeah. It would be like the worst case scenario. So I would be driving.
Yeah, that's true. But this seems does seem like a good time to mention the hot tub story about my friend Robin, but I don't want to take up the time. So I'm just going to say, go listen to our Q&A episode because I think it's worth listening to. It's a great hot tub story. So here we have Jared and Sierra. They met in the army. She already had a kid that is basically ignored for the entire rest of the episode.
What? It's my biggest. That is the mystery. The mystery of this episode. Well, there's a couple of mysteries, but that's one of them.
Yeah. What I'm guessing is, because they blur out his photo one time and they literally only mention him once, is that the father did not want him to be involved. So I'm guessing he lives with the father and did not want to be involved.
This is a tragic case, right? This is a tragedy, what happened here. But it's also extremely tragic for this kid how's he doing?
Right, that's true.
I would like an update.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm worried about him.
Well, I couldn't tell if he lived with them or not, or if he lived maybe with his dad. There's just so much confusion there. They really just don't talk about him.
And we don't see a lot of pictures.
Pretend he didn't exist after a while.
Well, it's that thing where new family. Okay, well, we'll get to it. Well, yeah, okay.
It's
new family.
New family, yeah.
I don't like that.
Forget about your old family. Oh, it's a 90-day fiance. If you're What's-His-Face and Lita, you do forget about your... He even said, I have my old family and I have my new family with Lita. And my new family has to take precedence. Like, no, you still have these children. Dennis becomes even more of a sassy pants at this point.
Yeah.
He says to Jared, you had a momentous first date, or is that too nosy of a question? And you know what I'm referring to. What he's referring to is that on Sierra and Jared's first date, they, as Dennis says, conceived a child.
Which is also amazing, that moment, because you can tell that Jared is like kind of like laughs and it's like, he doesn't quite know how, because he's supposed to say what happened, but he doesn't know, like,
right.
We
What's
had
appropriate.
Sex.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
What am I supposed to? And then Dennis like gives him an out. It's like,
yes.
You conceived a child.
Yes.
I've got this. I'm a professional.
I'm a professional. But also, it's right at the beginning of their interview, so he doesn't know how to read Dennis. You don't know what kind of guy Dennis is, so you don't know how PG you're supposed to be on Dateline, you know?
I think you can tell what kind of a guy Dennis is. Dennis is a gentleman.
For sure. In fact, I thought
How you doing?
I thought Dennis was too precious to say conceived a child on the first date, and I thought he might be shocked by that, because I think Dennis waits 3 weeks before he even will ask for a kiss on the cheek.
I think Dennis, as witnessed by the beginning of this episode, going for the jugular, is a surpriser. I think that he would be like, I think he is a gentleman in the fact that he would do whatever the lady wanted to do. But I think Dennis is a fly by the seat of his pants kind of guy. Look at that opener.
Is he perhaps... what is that? I have this weird thing on my thing that says, like, something in the streets Dothraki in the sheets.
What's in the streets?
I can't read it.
Who
it's
is it?
Far away. I can't read it. I have
it. Is it,
like,
hold on.
Oh, Targaryen in the street Dothraki in the sheets.
In the sheets.
Yeah.
That's great.
But I don't think that's what it is. I really don't think that's what mine says. Wait, hang on.
Hang on. Oh.
It's not quite as good as I thought it was. I'm a little disappointed. Downton Abbey in the streets, Game of Thrones in the sheets.
No.
It's not nearly as funny Boo. As what I thought it was.
No, Dothraki in the sheets is so much better. Super disappointed,
and I made it better.
Yeah. Targaryen in the streets, Dothraki in the sheets is really good.
Yeah.
Also, do they have t-shirts of that? Because if not, we're going to make $1 million.
No, I just Googled it.
They do.
Yeah, there's tons of them. But is Dennis like that?
Yes, I think he is. I think Dennis is. I think, honestly, what's happening is I think that we might be going for a new image.
Is he affected by the Dennis is enough cross stitch that I made him? And he's starting to think, well, why wouldn't I be enough?
Is he turning into the wild card? Dennis is no longer enough. Dennis is going to be more than enough. Dennis is going to become a handful.
Jokers are wild.
Yeah.
Something like that. Aces are wild.
Aces are wild.
Are jokers ever in the game?
Yes, jokers are wild, but aces can be wild.
Okay. This is fascinating. We're going to see how this progresses through the rest of the season.
Maybe Dennis isn't a gentleman. No more to gentleman's game of poker.
Okay. Jared and Sierra got married by their cab driver because they were on... I don't know.
I liked it.
Did you think it was cute? I thought it was cute or cheesy.
I think it's a great story. Look, sometimes people just, you know, they get engaged. They do a registry. They get married. These people did not do that. They got they conceived on the first date.
Yeah.
And they were in the cab going to get the marriage license. And the cab driver says, I'm a certified minister. That's a great story. And if that ever happens to you and the cab driver says, I'm a certified minister, you do that.
You would go with it. Yeah.
Yeah, you do that.
As Dennis calls it, one-stop shopping.
I liked that. Good job, Dennis.
Actually, that's the plot of a movie with Matthew Perry, who is Keith Morrison's stepson, called Fools Rush In with Salma Hayek.
There we go.
There you go. So they had one more kid. That's where I got confused, because they keep showing two kids, but then they say they had three. It's confusing. So they had like two little kids with them.
So they
she had a first kid.
So they have, older kid, then conception baby on first date, and then another kid.
Yes. But they start fighting immediately, like the first night fighting, and they decide to get a divorce, but they're sharing custody of the kids. Now, we meet two of her friends, the gorgeous lady with the red top.
Yeah.
Super glamorous.
She's my favorite.
She wore her finest for Dateline, really dressed up like she was going to a cocktail party.
What's her name? Samila?
Something like that. So Sierra had stayed in Georgia so she could co-parent with Jared for a long time. But finally, she decided she really wanted to move back home to Indiana. And the kids would stay in Georgia with their dad for the summer and then be with her during the year.
This sounds like a good arrangement.
Yeah. She was dating a guy that she met online who lived in Indiana. So no red flags there. A few days before she was going to move, Sierra disappeared. And the one friend with the long hair without the braces, who I don't know her name. Long hair, I'll call her. She had pretty hair.
Kendra
Smith.
She
seemed really nice.
Sorry, she wasn't an ass name.
They both seemed really nice.
She wasn't an ass name. Kendra. Oh,
you were totally wrong about this.
Her last name is Smith. And then I wrote SSS a bunch, and I had it wrong from the jump. Don't worry about it. Just press on.
She said she didn't hear back from Sierra for a few days, and she thought maybe she dropped her phone in the toilet, which is so funny to me because I feel like you'd get a new phone the same day. But we asked Mank during our Mank files which host was the most likely to drop their phone in the toilet, and Mank said probably him.
Yeah.
But then he also said, when we said who was more likely to win the Hunger Games, he said Dennis.
That's right.
Right? So this reframes the whole thing for us, doesn't
it? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dennis. He's coming to life.
The Phoenix Rising part of Dennis or whatever.
Year of the Dennis. I'm excited. Yeah. Okay.
It's the year Dennis got his groove back or something.
It's like the year Dennis revealed his superhero costume. He's removing the cashmere sweater to reveal like a gnarly dragon tattoo on his chest.
And a mesh tank top.
Oh my god, That's okay. That's a whole different.
A mesh.
Wait, why is he wearing a mesh tank top?
I don't know.
What kind of connotation does that have for you when you think of a guy in a mesh tank top? Because I think of a very specific man.
Yeah, it's terrible. But what I was trying to go for was maybe he rips off his cashmere sweater and there's a silk shirt buttoned down way too low with chest hair showing. Like he's the most interesting man in the world.
Sassy Dennis. Yeah. I like it.
Could that be with cognac and secrets? But you wanted him barrel-chested, tattoo on his chest.
I'm thinking more like Red Dragon.
Mm.
But not a serial killer. Francis Dolarhyde, when like he's this very unassuming sort of delivery man, and then he goes home and he removes this robe and it's a full back tattoo of a giant dragon.
Like Ben Affleck?
Oh, but isn't that that's the world's worst tattoo though? Except yeah. It's not. Because because what's worse than a big dragon? A tiny dragon. And I've seen a gentleman.
Close, a tiny dragon.
Remember. On the shoulder blade, tiny dragon.
No, that's terrible.
You can't have that tattoo.
No, that's terrible.
If you're getting a dragon, it better be at least 6 inches.
Back to the story. Her friend Samilla, who is the fellow nurse at the hospital, had planned a goodbye party at the hospital for Sierra. Sierra didn't show. That's when you call the police.
That's the minute.
Am I wrong?
That is exactly what I have in my note. If she's not showing up, why is no one going to the apartment?
I know, it's
go
insane.
Go to the apartment. If she's not showing up for the party.
Something is terribly wrong.
So this must be the day before she was found.
I really hope. They didn't clarify with that. They sort of felt like blamed the other friend maybe, like she had known for 6 days. Because they talked every single day on the way to work. On the drive to work, they would talk on the phone. And so that's 6 days. What are you doing? And then this party had to have been on like the last day because I can't believe that the shirt friend with the red shirt, Samilla, mm-hmm. wouldn't go to the police immediately. She seems like that kind of girl.
Here's what I think. I think that we're looking at a Sunday pickup because that's the husband came on Sunday to pick up the kids. So it's got to be a weekend that he picked them up. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 6th day.
And Friday's the day of the goodbye
party.
Friday
would be the day of the party.
But that does not let the first friend off the hook because they usually talk on the way to work every single day. And that's a full work week of not talking.
I would be much more concerned. So either a couple of things are happening here. Either the friend is possibly embellishing that they didn't actually talk every day. Or, yeah, I would worry, though. If I talked to someone like 3 or 4 times a week, even if it wasn't every day, but it was a lot, and I mm-hmm. hadn't heard for a solid that chunk of that entire week.
And not just them not calling you. I'm assuming she texted her and didn't even get a, I'm fine back. Got right. nothing back.
So I would be calling the ex-husband. Or I would be trying to figure out who the new boyfriend was. But also, keep in mind, this is, what, the week before she's moving to Indiana?
Right. So she's probably very busy.
Okay,
but wouldn't
she
be texting going, don't you need any help? Can I help you? Let me bring you over some donuts to help.
I'm sure she's texting her the whole time.
But getting nothing back.
And so she's just like, okay, she's so busy. Or she can't find her phone. She doesn't have time to go buy a new phone. She also is a nurse, which work crazy hours, right?
Yes, that's true.
So who knows?
Back to the story. Jared says he talked to the kids about their mom. And Dennis says, did they have any questions? This was kind of weird. Is Jared says, my son asked for candy. But he doesn't say it in a way I feel like a normal parent would kind of smile sadly. Like, that's what a child is concerned about, obviously, because they're a child. It was kind of a funny story. But he just says it so seriously, like it was going to crack the whole case.
No, I think he's saying it like, my son didn't comprehend what was happening, which is a good thing. My son was asking for candy.
Yeah. But I wish he had said it the way you just said it.
Yeah, well.
He's very calm.
He's been through a thing, though. He's been through a thing. So, yeah. So we're going to give it to him.
Okay.
Foreshadow.
A fight? Yeah, are we going to fight?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Twitter was divided on Jared.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Sierra is dead, and she's been stabbed 3 times in the neck, which is terrible. But then...
Yeah, it really is. That's awful.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
But then the police call Jared and say, we have to talk to you about your ex-wife. We're sending over a cop and a counselor for the kids.
Wait, I'm sorry. Who finds Sierra? The maintenance man finds maintenance Sierra. Maintenance man. Yes. Just on accident? Or is there something wrong in the apartment?
Maybe because they knew she was moving. So maybe they were going to do a walkthrough to check.
And so they sent someone in? A maintenance
man? I don't
know.
You schedule like a maintenance... I don't know. Maybe he saw...
Oh, maybe she had something scheduled. You're right.
I've done that before. You schedule a maintenance walkthrough when you're leaving
an apartment.
Or
turning off the gas or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. All right.
So the police say we're going to send over cops and a counselor to talk to your kids. So when they arrive, instead of having a discussion with him, they throw him up against the wall and handcuff him with their guns drawn. And I was so confused. Like, I have to think this is because he's black. This is the only thing I can think of, because I've never seen a husband treated that way. Even if you automatically think the husband did it, they never just go and forcibly arrest you with their guns drawn, unless there was actually evidence or a witness or something. They just bring you in for questioning peacefully.
It seems odd. Do you think it's because he had a military background and they were worried that he was like knew how to defend himself?
I don't know.
It seems excessive.
It seemed way excessive.
Yeah.
So they bring him in, and Jared says he went over there 6 days before. Bear in mind, she's been dead for 6 days.
But he doesn't know that at this point. Jared doesn't know that.
Well,
they
I think he does. He went over there 6 days before. And the kids went in and played upstairs, and he talked with Sierra for a couple hours, and then they left. He's extremely calm. They say, how did you feel about her wanting to take your kids and move to another state? He says, I didn't feel any way about that. What? So automatically, I think he's like a liar, because even if...
But you heard that in the interview. Don't they show that part?
Yes.
He was like, that's kind of how she does it. She's like, I'm going here, and he doesn't argue with her.
But I don't buy that anyone would not be upset. There would at least be an issue there.
I think that they probably, you're right. I think they probably did have many talks about how that would work out.
Yeah.
Like, how that was going to go. But I think she had no intention of not going. And he was like, I didn't have a lot of say in it. It was like, okay, we're going to do.
Yeah. But he literally says he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
That his kids are being taken away to another state.
I think he's downplaying that. But I think probably part of him liked the idea that he would have them in the summers, which is the fun kid time, not the school year, which is the bad kid time, which is when you have to do homework and it's a day-to-day thing. He's having them in the summer and they can go to Busch Gardens or... whatever, Dollywood.
You're so into Busch Gardens now.
That's it. Well, now I know an East Coast amusement park, so I'm going to use it every chance I got.
Well, this is in Georgia, though, so that it's not in Georgia.
But that's where they'd go. Where are they going in Georgia? Is there Six Flags over Georgia?
Maybe. I don't know. Don't know. Yeah, she's looking. She's still looking. She has to look. It's just, she can't.
Six Flags over Georgia.
There you go. That's where they're going.
I found it. Cobb County.
There you go. Police figure out that no one has heard from Sierra since Jared went over there. Her phone literally went silent minutes after he was at her house. No one spoke to her. Not a text, not a call, anything after he was at her house.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's a really big coincidence.
Yes, I understand.
And then I found out at this point that it's not Sierra like Sierra's Club.
No,
it is
not.
Sierra like the singer.
Ciara.
Is that how you say Ciara?
Isn't
my goodies, my goodies, my goodies, not my goodies. Let me see you 1-2 step. Where is she? Is she still performing?
Yes, she was on Drag Race. She was a judge.
No way.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Okay. For she was actually a judge this season on All Stars. And she looks fabulous.
Good for her.
Yeah, really cool outfit.
Get it, girl. So Jared says the kids went outside to the car first. He stayed in with Sierra. Does this remind you of any other story that we've covered?
Yes. What one?
Heath Bar Farm.
Yeah, what happened?
The exact same thing happened.
Oh, I am a goldfish. Okay, go ahead.
It was a Patreon episode we did. It's one of Kimberly's favorites.
I remember.
And the dad was inside with the wife. The two kids were waiting in the car. And then there's a question of what did they hear? Did they hear a gunshot? Did they hear glass breaking?
But kids fully support dad in Heath Bar Farm.
No, it's the son and his friend. And the son is sent to live with
the grandparents.
Mm-hmm. And his story gets more evolved over time.
Yes.
And false memory, those kind of like coaching. People think he's been coached.
By the grandparents. Right.
By the grandparents.
They think the dad did it.
Correct. Yes. Everyone should listen. You should become a Patreon just to listen to that episode. Boom. Plug. Shameless plug.
Yeah. Shameless. And the friend's name is Chip or something like that.
Maybe.
Chad. Chip.
Well, the son's name Trig. Is Heath. Because Trig.
Sorry, it's something like that.
They find a man's watch in her bed sheets, but they never really talk about it again.
Because that could be her watch.
It could be her watch. It could be her boyfriend's who was there to visit a month before. We don't know. They didn't really give us details on that.
Could it be anything? That place was just like a tornado.
Yes, it was. And I don't know what it looks like when she's not in the process of moving. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt. But it looked like my place does on a bad day. Bad day, pretty much.
It was a bad day.
I literally yesterday had 5 Amazon boxes stacked like a Jenga tower on my coffee table.
Big Amazon boxes?
Way too big for what was in them.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing there.
And I was like, what am I doing with my life? They're not big things. It was like lint rollers and stuff like that. But it was too, it was, no. But it was just, it made my whole place look like a pigsty. So there's also bleach at the scene that looks like it was thrown around to try to cover up DNA or clean up, but then not really.
No, it doesn't. To me, I didn't see, I saw a bleach bottle tipped over, which in everyone, if you don't watch the episode, at least go like zoom through it so you can see the pictures of the apartment, because there's stuff everywhere. And it's not like boxes. It's like piles of, it's like when you make piles when you're cleaning out something, that's what it looks like. So the bleach just looked like someone had knocked it over.
I believe the police said there was actually bleach.
Right. They did. But where and how much? They didn't tell us anything like that. So there totally could be bleach anyways, is what I'm saying. I didn't feel like that was a good indication. Was there bleach surrounding her body? Because I didn't see any bleach stains on the bed, which was not white sheets. It was navy blue sheets. So I was like, if she's on her bed, that's where they find her body. And where's the bleach? Who's trying
to... I thought it was blood. I thought it was white sheets.
No, they're navy blue satin.
Oh, okay. Nice.
They're shiny. So I'm assuming they're like that.
Okay.
You know.
The police call the man she was seeing from Indiana, Ryan. Ryan thought that she was ghosting him. And Dennis uses the phrase ghosting because he's Mr. Hip.
Because he's Mr. Hip. Because it's brand new Dennis.
Yeah.
This is the Dennis we do not know yet.
Yeah. And so Ryan is kind of... He's ticked. He doesn't know she's dead, and he is ticked, throwback from last week, that she has blown him off. Like, they were fully supposed to start a life together. She was going to move to Indiana, they were going to be together, and instead she stopped returning his texts, and he thought she was just blowing him off completely.
It's sort of sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. It is sad.
It is kind of good that, I mean, he got a refund on his ticket.
He did get a refund on his ticket.
But when was he supposed to be there? Because maybe if he had been there, he could have helped this.
Right. No, I'm assuming he was going to come day before she was going to move or something. Yeah. Oh. The cop tells poor Ryan. I mean, it's kind of funny. He's almost like trying to make him feel better. He's like, no, it's not that she blew you off. The reason you have not heard from her is because she was murdered. And Ryan gives what I feel like, honestly, was one of the most genuine reactions
we have
ever heard on a Dateline to that news.
It really was.
It was not, oh my God, I can't believe this. Oh no. It was, you've got to be shirting me, except with the real SH word.
Yeah.
He is, it's like so genuine. And then he asks what happened. Like he says, sir, can I ask you what's going on? I'm kind of freaking out here. Why are you asking me about this? You know, like he does. It seemed legitimate to me. He's not one of those killers that never asks, why are you asking me about her? You know?
No, he's what happened to her?
Yes.
What
exactly.
happened?
Yeah. And then she's murdered. You've got to be shirting me. It was priceless. I like Ryan. I hope he finds love.
Ryan was good.
Yeah. So her friend Samila. Oh, like Camilla, but with an S.
I think so. Okay. Or Samila. I wrote S-E-M-I-L-A.
Okay. Samila says that Jared was violent with Sierra, smashing her things, breaking her computer, possibly abusing her.
Did we get the other friend weighing in as well?
No, we don't. That would have been helpful.
It would have been helpful.
That would have been helpful. Both of them. Anger issue, whatever. He said messy divorce.
Their fighting was an 8, right? And so when he said that, that means throwing things.
100%. This is why I think he's a liar, because he goes from saying they started their marriage with a fight that's at an 8 on the first night. Yeah. And now when the police are asking him how their divorce was and their shared custody, he said it is totally peaceful. They are co-parenting successfully. There is no drama between them. And then he laughs. He's like, the only tiff we ever had is when she cut our son's afro. And I thought it looked cuter longer. So who do we believe? I believe the friend Samila, that she was told that by Sierra. So either Sierra was lying about this to her friend to, I don't know, get attention or whatever. But I don't really buy that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
Or I believe that the ex-husband is lying that their divorce is totally roses and there's no problems.
Yeah. I just don't know how much is she talking about post-divorce there was violence and fighting and drama?
No, it's a pre-divorce, I believe.
Pre-divorce.
No, I think it's post too. I think there was constant drama with them.
But I'm wondering what made him. Okay, we'll get there. I'm just trying to see what happened here.
Well, she got a phone call. She was on her phone. My theory is she got a phone call from Ryan or something, or he thought it was Ryan, and he is the. We've seen it so many times. You don't have to be married to me, but you can't be with anyone else. No one else is going to have you. I think it was less about the kids even. I think he didn't want her to take the kids away for sure. But I think it was more like a, how dare you leave me and go with somebody else, this loser guy who's not even in the military, who lives in Indiana.
You don't think it's about the money?
I don't think it's about the money. I thought it was maybe a little bit. We'll get to that. I think part of it could be about the money, but I don't think so. I don't think it was premeditated. I think he snapped, and I don't think you generally snap over money. I think you snap over passion, emotions. Money's usually a more pre-planned thing.
Gotcha.
And if this was pre-planned, it was terribly planned.
Gotcha.
So I think this was more a passionate anger outburst. So what did the kids see or hear when Jared was in the house and they were sitting in the back seat of the car? In order for Dateline to ponder that question, Dennis has to actually sit in the back of a car.
Yes, sir.
He has his knee propped up.
Mm-hmm.
He is wearing a windbreaker and jeans, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He is talking directly to the camera. They are on a street. I'm just picturing the neighbors. You walk outside with your dog. There's a car there with a cameraman standing outside, shooting inside. And inside is a man, Dennis Murphy, sitting alone in the back seat of an otherwise empty car. No one's in the front seat. It's so funny that they had him sit in. I get it, but it's so funny. He's like propped up. It's so dramatic. I was here for it. I loved it.
Gotcha.
It set the stage, but I do think it's really funny because no one's gonna leave Dennis in a back seat.
No, no one puts.
He's
Dennis
gonna ride in the front seat with you if you go to the store with him.
Yes, he's gonna drive.
He's gonna drive. There you go.
Yeah,
he's gonna drive. So the police talk to the kids, and they say that the dad was in the house, and they were in the back seat. Now, these kids are very young. They're like 6 and 7. The daughter does say that he normally never leaves them in the car, but he did this time. Mm-hmm. And he left them for long enough that they got antsy, and the daughter went out and got out of the car and went to look in the mail slot at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she saw him standing there doing nothing, and he told her to go back to the car, but she didn't. And both kids say they heard mommy laughing, but it was sounded almost like screaming. And, you know, I think children are unintentional pathological liars because they make things up. They are not to be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
But they are being questioned the day of the event, or the day, well, it's a week later, actually. So it's right in the, it's not really the day of the event. It's like 6 days later. But they're saying that they heard her screaming or maybe laughing.
In the second interview.
In the second interview. I wanted to see the daughter, because the daughter also says it, and I thought it was in the first interview. And the son changed it in the second interview. But I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're like, yes, you were wrong.
You're a little wrong. In the first interview, she doesn't,
doesn't say, but she doesn't say anything. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, guess what? Mr. You've Got to Be Shirting Me has an alibi. Our instincts were right about Ryan.
Yes.
He is a good guy, and we hope you find love, sir.
Mm-hmm.
The police arrest Jared, and he's in jail for 15 months, and he's lost custody of his kids. He gets out of jail on bail. He finds new love right away.
Yeah.
And guess what? The new spouse doesn't think he did it. So no. Mark that down on your bingo cards.
And she's a Katie.
Is she a Katie?
Mm-hmm.
She has the bluest eyes.
The bluest.
There are little people online thought she looked a little Stepford wife-ish.
Why?
Because she is so clearly thinks that he's innocent.
Yes.
I just once want the new spouse... Just once, I think this would be so funny, if the new spouse says, you know, I do think there's a really good chance he might have done it, but my plan is to just not piss him off. I'm going to take my chances. It's better than dying alone. So I'm just going to go for it. This is my second chance at happiness.
We won't hear that.
That's all I want.
It won't happen.
Jared gets out of the jail, finds this new lady, gets married, also finds Jesus. So mark that on your bingo card. They always find Jesus after they are arrested or something.
Mm-hmm.
These new church friends believe he's totally innocent, and they want to help with his case. So they all become detectives. They set up a war room. There's one guy who is a tech guy. He's like a software engineer. So they put him in charge of cell phone records.
Yes, ma'am.
It's like Ocean's 11, but church version. Tim, you're in charge of surveillance footage. Peggy, keep the coffee cake coming. Tammy, get us all signed up with Care Of, a monthly subscription vitamin service to keep us healthy so we can keep this innocent man out of prison. Go team. Praise Jesus.
Smart folks.
Do you know about Care Of?
I do know about Care Of.
I love Care Of. This is my new favorite thing, is our monthly subscription service to these vitamins. It is a new year, new me. I'm trying to get healthy.
Yep.
I'm trying to not be sick so much so we can podcast more. And I want to have energy so that I don't oversleep through half of CrimeCon like I did last year. I'm not going to let it happen. Also, our skin might be glowing because we're going to be on vitamins.
Well, my skin for sure is going to be glowing.
You're going to light up a room, which is dangerous. So when we signed up, we took this quiz. Each of us took a different quiz. It's personalized for you. It's like 5 minutes. Yeah. You know how I never have taken the What is Your Harry Potter Patronus quiz? Because I'm worried I'm going to be disappointed and it's way too overwhelming for me.
Understood.
It's, I'm sure, like 50 questions. I can't. Right. This is low stress. It's a fun little quiz. It takes 5 minutes.
We took it together. It was great.
We took it together while we were on the phone with each other.
Yeah.
It was great really bonding fun. Time. Then you get these personalized care of subscription boxes every month. I have to think this is better for you than your makeup subscription boxes.
So this is a very healthy alternative to my makeup subscription boxes, of which I never use more than like one item out of the five that I'm really excited about.
Right.
So this is something that I can use all of the vitamins and right. I'm really excited about. You also can customize your subscription box so you're not giving everything that they recommend to you. You can get exactly what works for you right now.
I loved that because I yeah. had some extra vitamins at home from one kind. So I said, I don't want that this month because I right. want to use up what I have at home, but next month I'll get it.
Exactly.
Also, a portion of every care of sale goes to the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins.
That's amazing.
And that's a way for you to give back without actually doing anything. And we all know how little I like doing things. I mean, I can feel good about this and I didn't actually do anything, but take my vitamins.
Yeah, you kind of win on that.
And there's even a care of app to remind you to take your vitamins, but you won't forget because they have these health tips and little funny facts on them, so you'll want to take them. I pulled one out and it said, did you know that no two dogs have the same nose print, just like a human fingerprint? So now
it's amazing.
I have care of's permission to accost any puppy I see on the street and give kisses on their nose and fully examine their nose for what its print looks like.
Thanks, Care of.
So take advantage of this month's special New Year offer for 50% off of your first month of personalized Care of vitamins. Go to takecareof.com and enter dateline 50 this month only.
This month only. That's takecareof.com and enter dateline 50 for your first month of personalized vitamin subscription.
50% off.
Pretty good.
We're so excited.
Yeah.
I feel better already.
I'm so excited. I want my hair to grow 5 inches.
Yes.
The vitamins that I have are something called the Glow. Yeah, I know. I'm really excited. Okay. It's like the Glow multi-supplement. So I'm
She's
really excited.
She's going to be luminescent.
Yeah. And I will keep everybody updated on how it's going over the next, because I think it'll probably take a couple of, like, probably about 4 to 5 weeks to see any difference. I'll let you guys know.
Yay. Thank you, Karev.
Thank you, Karev.
Back to the case, Katie. Dun, dun, dun. The tech guys.
Sherlock Holmes music here.
The tech guys from the Cell Records. I do like this tech guy, I have to say. He's kind of like a big teddy bear. He's a church guy. He seems very nice. And he's trying to study mm-hmm. up these Cell Records. I just really disagree with his findings. So he thinks it shows that Sierra was on her phone at 6:41. And at 6:42, Jared's phone was still there. 26 minutes after that, Jared's phone pings 15 to 20 minutes away. So they don't think he would have enough time to murder her and then drive away. But by my math, he could have had as much as 11 minutes to stab her and then throw some bleach on the floor
and change his clothes.
Only the shirt, I think. And I don't know where he would have gotten the other shirt unless Ryan, the new boyfriend, had clothes laying around, or maybe he grabbed a sweatshirt and threw it over him. The thing is, we don't know what he looked like when he came out. And they do search his car and there's no blood in his car. But again, he's had a full 6 days since this has happened. So we don't know, like, and the kids probably wouldn't notice if he was wearing a different shirt when he came out than he went in. And like, kids don't notice things like that, I don't think. He's had 6 days. So 11 minutes seems like plenty of time. I can change my clothes in 30 seconds.
But 11 minutes seems awfully short if you are stabbing someone, waiting for them to die, grabbing a bottle of bleach, throwing it around, then trying to like center yourself, put on a new shirt, wash your hands and go outside. That does seem pretty quick. 11 minutes seems really fast.
It does seem quick. However, if you're stabbed in the neck, you're going to die extremely fast because that's where all the blood is.
She was just lying on her bed and not fighting back.
There were no other stab wounds, I think. So the first one went to the neck. You're not fighting back after that.
There were 3 stab wounds.
In the neck.
Right.
So no others. So that means the first one, like a blitz attack in the neck.
But her hands weren't stabbed, so she wasn't reaching up to grab her neck?
I don't know, but that would have happened regardless of who the killer was, and it didn't. So
this doesn't seem to you like someone who was asleep in their bed and someone came in and stabbed them in the neck?
No, because the cell phone records show that she was on her phone.
At 6:41.
1 minute before his phone was still there.
Right, but this doesn't seem like something that could have happened later.
Okay, then who did it?
Yeah, that I have no idea. That's where the biggest problem in the whole thing is. Is that even if I can play devil's advocate for sure,
right,
it doesn't line up perfectly for him to have done it. Who
the
did
thing
it?
Is, like with Heath Bar Farm, we were always like, then who did it? Mm-hmm. There were witnesses who saw other cars speeding
there
away
were.
From the scene.
I remember that.
And by all accounts, their marriage was going really well.
Right.
They were actually doing really well. And everyone said he loved her and wouldn't do it. So but this is the biggest coincidence. He's the most unlucky man in the world. Mm-hmm. If he is the last person to speak to his wife and the last person to see his wife, his fingerprint is on her phone, and the last time she was on her phone was when he was with her, and then she's dead. No one hears from her after that 6:41. And she was constantly on the phone with people. The Dateline producer said she was on the phone all the time. She would call her friends. So I have to think, if they had an altercation, or even if they had a really nice chat for a few hours, maybe it went great. He leaves. She's going to call one of her friends to tell them. He was here for 3 hours. We discussed the moving. It's going really well or something. Or we fought about it.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of those people that would call one of her friends to gossip about what just happened.
Okay.
And her phone, that's what the Dateline producer said. They said her phone was never silent. She was constantly on the phone with her
friends. When did they say? They said that
on Twitter.
On Twitter, okay.
But her best friend said they would talk every day on the way to work. You know, she was a phone person. So her phone goes silent right when he's there. And no one ever hears from her again. I have to believe she would literally call someone and say, oh, he was here, it went great, or I saw the kids for the last time before I'm moving.
Unless someone came in like right after him and murdered her, you're right.
And what are the odds? You have to go Occam's razor, set, you know, the most likely thing. That's just my opinion. It totally could be a once in a lifetime coincidence, but I find it really hard to believe, especially with they have a history of fighting.
Got it.
Especially there's a new man involved, and she's taking the kids to be near this new man.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Again, Twitter does not necessarily agree with me. People were really split on this.
Mm-hmm.
They think he would have been covered up in blood, and he wouldn't have had time to wash up. The kids don't mention that he was covered in blood, so we have to assume he wasn't, like, totally covered in blood. He at least washed his face and his hands and maybe pulled something on over his shirt, I would guess. He could clean up later, because, again, he has 6 days. The kids didn't notice any blood on his face or something. And I do think if you stab someone in the neck, there's going to be a lot of
spray. There's going to be a lot of blood. Yes.
So that I do find odd.
Mm-hmm.
Now, originally, the son didn't say that he heard screaming. The police say, did you hear screaming? And 5 days later, when they interviewed him again, it's been like 5 days, the son says he heard laughing or screaming. The change in the story is very suspicious to people. The friends think the cop is coaching the son. And this is the moment when the female detective says, do you remember that? And then there's a pause, and then she says, say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? Now, that could be really terrible police work and totally obvious coaching. I also thought it could...
that's not exactly what she says, though. She says, say yes, and then she says, wait, no, don't just say yes.
Yeah, say you remember that. Yeah.
So that's not great.
To play devil's advocate, it's not great. I think, I did think perhaps the son just nodded. and she needs an audio for the recording.
Yep,
and
good point.
Is saying, say yes, like instead of just nodding, say yes. Now, as people pointed out on Twitter, if a really good detective, if they were doing that, they would say, he's nodding, but I can't hear it on the recording. Can you please repeat? You know, you would say that, but they don't, maybe she's not a great detective. I do think it's highly likely they were coached in some way, but I don't think that negates the fact that he could still be the killer. People on Twitter seem to think it was one or the other. Either he's guilty or the kids were coached. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be both. I think he could have be guilty and they could have had a case and they tried to amp up their case by coaching the kids.
By coaching the kids.
And in doing so, ruined the case. Yeah. But they had a case because he was guilty to begin with. Mm-hmm. I think it could be both. That's my opinion. So the prosecutor, and they go to trial. The prosecutor thinks he did it because he didn't want her to move away and take the kids. He also owed her, this is the money part, $13,000 in child support. I don't know what to say about that. Police find Jared's fingerprints on Sierra's phone. And again, the last time Sierra's phone was used was that time when he was there. So he was the last person to use her phone besides her. The thing they don't think he had enough time to throw the bleach around. That we've talked about this, the change of clothes. Then there's this guy in prison, a prison snitch, which I don't think is on bingo cards. I don't know if we see it enough. Should it be on bingo cards?
Definitely should be.
Prison snitch?
Yes, we see it often. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
So prison snitch is going on bingo cards. He says Jared confessed to him, and they show the jailhouse snitch who's giving the total blue steel look to the camera.
Yes.
So much passion. In pursed lips. So Jared sees his kids for the first time in court, and he can't really talk to them, so he mouths, I love you, or something. I don't know. Again, I think he's a murderer, so I didn't really feel bad for him. I feel bad for the kids. They are now 12 and 13. They've been living with Sierra's family this whole time. Now the story is much more amplified, and this is where the big debate comes in. And I think Dateline producer on Twitter did a much better job of defending this than they actually did in the episode. The daughter takes the stand and says she saw her dad changing his shirt and a white bottle next to him.
Right.
Which people on Twitter are like, your memories never get better over time. You don't just remember new details. Dateline producer and a few people pointed out that a lot of psychologists believe that that's actually what does happen, especially to kids, in case of trauma, is actually you do remember new things that happened. And that's actually a legitimate thing. And a few people wrote, like, opened up about their trauma on Twitter and said, I remembered brand new details later, because once the trauma, like, settles a little, you're actually able to remember new things that came up. So I don't know what to think. I mean, but I do also think kids are notorious liars. So I honestly don't know if they've been coached, if they legitimately remembered new things. I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, I don't think that means that he's not guilty. I think it can be both.
Right.
So Jared takes the stand, which is very rare. Usually, I don't know. Do you think they're more likely to take the stand if they're... What do you think of taking innocent. The stand?
I think you're more likely to take the stand if you're innocent. But I have seen some very cocky killers on taking the stand. But this seemed kind of like the defense attorney was, of course, going to put him on the stand. And Jared was like, yeah, of course I'm going on the stand. This seemed like they were in total agreement. Normally, if it's a cocky murderer, the defense attorney will be like, please
doesn't
don't take the
want
stand.
To.
Please
right.
don't take the stand. But in this case, they were like, yeah, absolutely. We need him to tell his story.
Right.
Yeah. The jury needs to hear from him.
Yeah.
So
usually I think of most datelines, they don't take the stand.
No, and never. Even if they're innocent.
Yeah, yeah, even if they're innocent, too, just because they know their story's going to be ripped apart. But
right. It's the prosecution that they're worried about, right?
Yeah. Yes. So because then they're open to attacks and they can they have to answer the questions. Jared says there was no problem with child support. They were working on payment arrangements. He wasn't mad at all that she was moving, which, again, I don't understand. You're moving your kids away, states away. You have... Like, I don't get it. I really don't. that he has says he has no feelings towards that whatsoever. I don't buy it. But the new wife says that Jared is so calm and collected that he's their evidence. And because he doesn't get upset at all, like about anything. Mm-hmm. He's very mellow. But I don't feel like he's mellow in the same way that the chill Portland fisherman, Dan, was mellow. He was so mellow.
No, he wasn't a fisherman, is why I'm shaking my head. But yes, he was very mellow. And
one
so
person defended me and said they thought it looked like a fisherman's little hat, too. Yeah, I love Dan. We God bless Dan. We miss Dan.
Sorry,
but
Dan.
He was mellow.
Yes, he was.
There's different kinds of mellow, though. There's mellow, like just a gentle person.
Soul. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there's a dead sociopath type, emotionless mellow.
True. Yeah.
So think of it what you will. The jury, I was shocked, shooketh, found him not guilty of all charges. Then who the F killed her?
Who? That's what the prosecution should have gone with.
Her.
It's like, we have no other suspects. There is no one else. But were there other suspects? What are we not hearing here?
Right. I don't know if Dateline didn't say things. Somebody on Twitter said that Jared claims there was untested male DNA. Well, that doesn't make sense because how would you know it was male DNA if you didn't test it? Like unknown DNA at this scene. We don't know. So, yeah, maybe Dateline didn't tell us everything. From our point of view, there is literally no other suspect to me. And now Jared is fighting for custody of his children, even though I thought he didn't care if they moved to another state. Now he wants them back. I'm rolling my eyes. So we don't know what to think. We may disagree on this one.
It's a hard one.
I agree with a lot of people on Twitter that there wasn't a lot of evidence, but I personally believe that the circumstantial evidence was enough for me.
Okay.
So, and everyone's like, we want DNA, we want proof. There are still circumstantial cases. Those can still be tried. We're just so jaded that we need CSI proof now.
But I'm just very surprised that the jury found him not guilty, to be honest. We have seen people get guilty on a lot less than this.
We have seen Sandra Melgar get convicted on no evidence.
Which was crazy.
Even no circumstantial evidence.
Man, that would make me mad.
Yeah, it's infuriating.
Yeah, Fizz, don't listen to this episode. Don't watch this. Yeah.
No, it's bad. So, but a lot of people on Twitter even felt that he might be guilty, but they didn't have enough to convict him. So
that's my feeling. Right. I have a hard time with that.
I can see that. But in your gut, you feel like he did it.
In my gut, I don't know who else it would be. Uh-huh. So I'm feeling like I don't have enough information, which is frustrating. And then the phone thing is huge. And then the time thing is huge. And they contradict each other. So I'm struggling with that.
Right. I still think it's definitely plausible. I mean, if you would sit here for 11, if we were to sit here for 11 minutes in silence, it would be so long.
It would, but it's so short in the grand scheme of things. It is short. It is fast.
Yeah.
Like 11 minutes goes by in the blink of an eye. So I'm just like, man, he was fast.
Yeah. He was
what was the purpose of throwing the bleach around? I want to know where the bleach was. I want to know why.
I think he maybe panicked and thought, I'm going to clean this up, threw the bleach, saw that was not going to work, and then just left.
You don't think that the kids would have heard them yelling right before it? Or you think he just went for
it? I think he literally snapped. She was on the phone, maybe talking to Ryan. I want to know who she was talking to.
Yeah, I'd like to know the phone records. Yeah.
Or he said, who's that? Is that the new guy? Is that the guy who's taking my kids? You know, who is? And then literally just went for her. And she was not expecting it at all. It was like he saw red, like a dog that is in, you know?
Yeah.
And then they snap out of it and they're like, oh my God, what did I just do? Throw the bleach on.
But then 11 minutes is a long time for him to compose himself. It's not a long time for him to be like, okay. Yeah. And then go out and be a normal dad to his kids in the car.
But rarely do we see people on Dateline hang out for a long time at the crime scene. They always get out of there really fast.
No, it just seems like
you go into fight or flight, maybe.
So why did he leave the kids and why did he send the kids out to the car? Because he knew he was going to kill her?
No, not at all. I think that was just a coincidence.
Okay.
I think the kids went out and he thought they were going to go. And then they got into a heated argument or something.
Okay.
That, maybe so. Again, just my theory.
Okay.
But that's what, there is another thing that's going to come up during Twitter that I think is a huge, huge, excellent point. So wait, okay, till
let's get to Twitter quickly then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So B-roll bonanza. I just wanted to say that I saw Jared and his new wife. I loved this. This made me think he was innocent. They're standing in the kitchen eating Tostitos and dipping. But I thought that was very real. Because remember that B-roll when the wife serves her husband apple slices with a glass of water?
No.
Not even peanut butter on the apple slices? Is he in prison? What are you doing?
Like prison food.
It's horrible. So they're like real people eating Tostitos. That I highly approved.
Yes.
One, agreed. Go. I liked that.
Agree.
Brand's unhappy. I'm skipping right. Brand's unhappy being on Dateline. Tostitos.
Tostitos.
But, yeah. Because there wasn't really much else, was there? Did I miss anything? There was no Walmart.
No, there were no. I didn't see any.
Brands.
I didn't see any brands at all.
Got nothing. Do we want to do titles? Are we ready?
Military t-shirts. I don't know. His shirt was weird.
Really? Which one?
Oh, yeah. It's Fashion Police.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do Fashion Police.
So his... I think that they were trying to fool us with is he or isn't he? His shirt was one of those... It was this weird, stark, sort of khaki with buttons, but khaki buttons.
Yes, it could have been a prison shirt, like a nice prison shirt.
Could have been.
And in the background, there was this wall that was like a grated... Almost like a sliding warehouse door or something.
I did think they were trying to fool us.
They were trying to fool us.
And then Samila's red silky top was very pretty. It was at the red halter and like dangly earrings. She looked really good.
Yeah. She was gorgeous. I loved the earrings.
She was great. I felt really bad about her. She was my precious moment for sure. She was hurting.
Yeah.
She was hurting that she was like, I couldn't even look at him. I can't. I hate him. She's like, I'm sorry. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
She could not look at him in court. And I thought that
she talked about how empty she was after. Like, she just couldn't even. She drove to the scene to see the police tape because she didn't want to believe it. I feel bad for the other friend, too, but I'm a little mad at the other friend that she took so long to not check on her. Like, what are you doing?
What happened there?
Yeah, you dropped the ball, girl.
Also, did she just not show up to work for a week and know everyone's...
I don't... Maybe she was done. I think she was done because she was packing. Maybe she was done.
Okay.
And then you have the party after. That's kind of what I thought. The party doesn't necessarily have to be on your last day. So maybe it was like she had the week off to pack and that party was that last day. Maybe.
Yeah.
So did you... You didn't do any titles.
I did.
Are they good?
They're okay. Are yours good? I'll do mine first.
We'll see. Okay.
We'll do mine first this time. I have all bottled up. I have say yes to the defense. So the kid. Say yes.
Oh, good. Oh, I like it.
So okay. I have say yes defense because that was their best defense. But then I also thought say yes to the defense.
But that was the prosecution. It was say yes to the prosecution.
No, say yes. But say yes. Sorry. Say yes defense. Is the best defense they had because they heard the investigator saying say yes to the little kid.
Great point. Okay.
So say yes defense.
I see what you're saying.
And then I think that maybe there should be a new show called Pregnant at First Date. Because it's basically like Pregnant with a Stranger, right?
Right.
Knocked Up, the movie.
Right.
So you could have a show where you're pregnant on the first date with someone you don't really know that well.
But now, do they follow you and cast you on the show after it happened?
Yeah,
or do they actually pair up people and make them get pregnant on the first date?
No, that's horrible. But I think maybe it's... No, I think it's call in and then they've been pregnant. And so it's like 4 months later.
Gotcha.
That they get cast
and
in
now
the
we're
show.
Trying to figure this out. Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out if they're going to get married or what they're going to do. Or will if they're they or just won't
they? Yes.
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 It could work, right?
Definitely could work.
Okay.
I'm surprised it hasn't been done.
Hasn't been done yet, I don't think. Maybe.
I don't know.
All right, go ahead.
It Takes Two to Sierra Tango. No?
Sierra Tango is a...
That's like military speak. Sierra Tango Foxtrot. And
I think you should say It Takes Two to Sierra Tango Foxtrot.
Okay, but the phrase is It Takes Two to Tango. And her name was Sierra. So I said It Takes Two to Sierra Tango.
I like it. It works for me.
Thank you.
Yep. Works. It's good. It's good.
My serotonin levels just went right up when you said that. Okay, here we go. Jared went to Jared twice. It doesn't really work, but he went to Jared. Jared went to Jared.
What's Jared?
Oh, you don't remember? He went to Jared? That was the whole commercial for the getting proposed. He went to Jared for the ring.
Oh my God.
Do you not remember those commercials?
Jared. Yes, I do. That's funny.
He went to Jared. Jared
went to Jared twice.
That's
cute. Okay. You did good.
And no, I won more. Nobody puts Dennis in the corner of the back seat.
There we go. I'm sorry, I sort of ruined it earlier.
When?
I already said that.
Oh, you did?
I did.
You said nobody puts Dennis in the backseat? Yeah,
I said no one puts Dennis in the backseat.
I didn't even hear you. That was my title. Oh, sorry.
That's good, though. It's
fine. Great minds.
That's right.
It's totally fine.
Okay, I'm excited about Twitter.
Okay, let's do this. Twitter, we don't have that much.
But they're divided, and I'm excited about it.
I didn't really pick the ones that were divided because it wasn't that interesting to me.
What?
I'm sorry.
I want to know.
I know. I'm sorry.
So you only pick ones that pertain to you?
No. Just ones that were entertaining.
Oh.
Or that's informative. There's some that okay. are informative.
I'm excited about informative, too.
Okay. So Dateline producer said something about children don't recognize screaming, so they often associate the sound with laughter. Because at a young age, they've not heard people scream in terror before.
Who said that?
Dateline producer said that the people he talked to, like the child psychologists, said that.
What study is that?
I don't know.
Does that seem right to you?
I don't know. That's just what they say. Here's another Dateline producer. I don't know if this will change your mind at all. According to police reports, the detective had driven the children from Jared's home to the police station, and in the car, the children were talking about the last time they saw their mother. So, from Dateline producer's point of view, when the cop says, say yes, it was basically, remember what you told me in the car right here.
Okay.
Because they had already, does that make sense at all?
Yeah, so that makes sense.
They had discussed it on the car ride there. It wasn't on the recording, obviously.
Why didn't they put that in the Dateline?
I don't know, but that's according to the police reports. That's, man, I know.
They had to walk the line in this Dateline, didn't they? Because, like, I wonder what they really thought. Like,
it
what
makes more sense that he just nodded and that's why she was saying say yes. But I can also hear it that way too. It's like a say yes because we talked about this already. We just talked about this in the car. Like that's what she was kind of prompting him.
I see.
That's their
reaction. It doesn't sound like that that much though.
It doesn't
honestly,
really
when
to
I
me.
Listen to it, it sounds like
prompting.
It sounds fully like prompting because she's the question isn't is the question do you remember that? I don't think
do you remember that? Mm-hmm.
But when you said nodding, I need to go back and listen to it again.
Well, I think she's saying, like, you told us that you heard your mother. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Because they had just talked about it in the car.
Is that the question? That's
the full question? I believe so. I'm not 100% sure.
I need to go back and watch it. Yeah. I'm really curious. Okay. All right.
Now, Cherie, with an I, says, I can still see Santa and his sleigh in the sky when I was 5, and my uncle was holding me, pointing up and saying, there he goes. See him? I can see it in my memory.
Weird.
So it's that thing with the rabbit. The kids, your memories are really weird, especially when you're a kid. So you have to, I don't know. But Dateline producer said,
that was clearly Santa.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was obviously Santa.
Yeah,
that she saw. Yeah. No, that wasn't a false memory. That was real. No. So one person said children's memories don't get better 6 years later. And Dateline producer said, according to experts who spend their time interviewing children who have experienced trauma, that is actually quite common. That's what Dateline producer said.
Here's the thing, though. Did they experience trauma or did they experience something that seemed totally normal and not unordinary?
Right. And then
so
they experienced
trauma
6 days later when they found out their mom was dead.
So why would they remember something that's completely ordinary?
Right.
Why would they have missing memories about something that they don't remember because it wasn't important?
Well, maybe it was traumatic to them because they did hear fighting, but they had blocked it all out.
Did they hear fighting? Traumatic.
I don't know.
But that's the problem, is we can't trust if they heard fighting or not. We can't trust anything they heard, because at first they said they heard nothing.
Right. No, I totally agree.
The first interview, day one, they said nothing. They didn't hear.
But now some people on Twitter said the way they heard the child say, "I didn't hear anything, I heard nothing," was the way her son is like, "I didn't see anything, I didn't do anything." They're being interviewed by someone, a police person, and they just want to give the right answer. And so
that he didn't seem like that. He was like, nothing. Watch that part.
I saw it. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, that's really hard. Okay.
I don't. Kaisler Sose, Jared's too low energy to order a pizza, let alone kill his ex.
What? When was he supposed to order a pizza?
Oh my God.
I mean, I get it. But like, what was that, something that happened in the episode?
No, he's just saying that he's too low energy to do like to even, the easiest like, yeah. thing in the world, which is like,
oh, I gotcha.
To order a pizza.
Sorry, I got sidetracked with pizza because I have something really important to tell you.
Oh my God, it was a joke.
I know. I totally missed it. Sorry, Kaisler Soche, I'm usually really on it. But here's the deal. Little Caesars has a new pizza. This is the information that I have for you.
The soft pretzel bread.
Yeah.
With the cheese.
It's no tomato sauce. It's nacho cheese sauce.
I think
sauce.
That sounds disgusting. I want regular pizza with the crust as the pretzel and then dipping sauce on the side. I don't want the cheddar nacho cheese on my pizza. I want it to dip this crust in after. That's how I feel. I'm sorry to burst your barren balloon.
It's fine.
I'm really sorry. Was that the big news you had to tell
yeah,
me?
Yeah, that was the big news I had
but
to tell
you.
But
you know I watch TV and there's a million commercials.
It was that I had it.
And how was it?
It was a special deal to go get it for the last time I was editing an episode. I told Oliver, I'm like, I'm going to be up all night. And he's like, we're going to do the Little Caesars pizza. So it was a big deal. But he had to get that one and another one because apparently everybody thinks that one is gross. I think that pizza was made for me. Because I don't like tomato sauce.
Yeah,
so pizza.
Weird.
So I only like pizza if it's like really cheesy and real light on the sauce.
That's but does it have mozzarella cheese too?
Yes. So it's a cheese sauce with mozzarella cheese on top and then a pretzel and then a pretzel crust.
How was the crust? Was it soft pretzel consistency?
So this is the problem. I like cheese sauce. So I was into it because the whole thing's like eating a cheesy, yummy thing until you get to the crust. Which is not raised up like a soft pretzel. It is not.
What?
It's just darker in color and it's got salt on it, but it tastes like regular pizza crust. It doesn't taste
like
pretzel.
Oh my God. Little. Yeah. Oh, pizza, Little Caesar. Oh, you
pizza,
have blown
pizza.
It.
Yeah, they blew it.
That's a lie because in the commercials, it's fully looks like soft pretzels.
Maybe I got a bad one. So I'm going to go back and look. I'm probably going to get another one because I'm gross. But I mean, to me, that's a dream.
Yeah.
They had me when they said cheese sauce. I
yeah.
was like, I'm in.
No, I understand.
I'll take three. But then, yeah, the crust was not exciting. And they don't give you extra cheese sauce. So there isn't anything. You have to kind of squeeze it out of the pizza to dip the crust in. You can't. I mean, there's no extra cheese sauce on the side.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it does defeat the purpose of the crust. You have to dip the crust in something else. You have to get like the garlic butter or something.
Yeah. But I would want cheese sauce.
But you want cheese sauce because it's a pretzel.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it. That was my big news.
Maybe you peel the cheese off the top layer and then eat that just a ball of cheese in your hands. Just
no, that's
ball
gross.
Of cheese. And then take the crust and dip it on the middle part.
And I'm not afraid of grease, but Little Caesars is grease to a level that I don't know. It can't be good for you.
Well, no one's saying grease. I mean, they don't market it like that.
It's really bad. So I was really excited to tell you about the pizza, even though you already knew. But the other thing I was really excited to tell you about this week was Swap.com.
The clothing website. I also know about that.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. So Swap.com is a fantastic place for anyone who enjoys the art, and it is an art of thrift store shopping.
No, it is. And you've mastered that art.
I have mastered that art. So I was delighted by this site. For all of our listeners out there who don't know, using recycled clothing is a way that I recycle.
Yeah.
In the U.S., the average individual throws away about 70 pounds of textiles each year.
That's insane. I throw about that many bottles of Coke Zero away. But if I were to recycle my clothing, I could do even better.
Exactly. So this is the exact kind of thing for people who are looking for a way to do better by the earth.
Yeah.
If everyone just dedicated 10% of their purchases to secondhand clothing, it would have the same impact as taking 1 million cars off the road for a year in terms of emissions reductions. It's pretty amazing.
That's incredible.
That's a huge number. So swap.com has something for the whole family. I mean, you can go in and filter your search for exactly what you're looking for. So if I'm looking for something for Oliver, I can go into the men's and filter for jeans. I spent way too long in the women's sweatshirts area looking for a very special sweatshirt, which I did find and I did purchase and is on its way to me right now.
And you're going to wear it to CrimeCon.
And I will be wearing it at CrimeCon. But it's not just men's and women's. They have juniors, kids, baby, and maternity. It's fantastic for moms who go through a ton of clothing.
I've heard that children grow really fast. Is that true? Call us, science.
Science, give us a call.
I'm looking now online. It seems like they have 90% off retail brands on Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, The Gap. It's like if you're a Babes with Coffee or you're David Marshburn private investigator. There's something for everybody.
Absolutely.
Oh, and if it doesn't fit, you have a hassle-free return within 30 days. That's perfect for me because I have an oddly shaped body.
They have a plethora of sizes, which is great because a lot of these sites really focus on your sample sizes, your double zero, your extra small.
Yeah.
And this...
Yeah, I don't have time for that.
No, this is for everyone. So right now, swap.com has a special offer for listeners of A Date with Dateline. If you go to swap.com/Dateline, you can get free shipping on your first purchase, which is amazing.
I love it. Yeah. Don't have to go to the dressing room, try it on in the ugly fluorescent lights. It's so good.
And you're not breaking the bank. You know, it's something for $5. It's something for $15. You're not going to pay retail prices for this sometimes new and sometimes barely used items. It's great.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Everybody, don't forget, check out swap.com/Dateline and get free shipping on your first purchase. It's a low-risk way to give online thrifting a try.
What have you been waiting for?
What you waiting, what you waiting, what you waiting, what you waiting, what you waiting
for? What song is that?
Don't you remember Gwen Stefani when she's in the Alice in Wonderland video?
Oh, yeah. I don't think that that's the right tune or words. That the words are wrong or the tune is wrong.
You're wrong.
That it's totally possible. I always admit that that's a possibility. It's just super unlikely. Okay, one more tweet that I... This is the one that for me was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. How did we not think of this?
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Harrison. So he wasn't concerned that the kid's mom had not called her kids to say hello in 6 days.
But he said they never really talked when they were apart.
Would she not want to talk to her children?
Yeah.
It would. She didn't text. He said they didn't talk except about the kids.
So it seemed like she would call and be like, hey, how are you doing?
How are the kids doing? Anything going on? He didn't hear from her for 6 days. He didn't check in. She didn't call to say goodnight to her kids. She didn't text to see how they were doing that week for 6 full days.
That's a good point.
And he never thought to check on her or anything.
Yeah, I get you.
That's shocking to me. And I think most moms would be like, that's 6 days. I'm calling literally every day, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
Natalie Bannon. What is Dennis's middle name? When he asked the first date question, I clutched my pearls, gasped, and said, Dennis F. Murphy. I feel like it could be Fitzgerald, but maybe it's E for enough. Dateline, thoughts?
Oh, my God.
So I said, Katie needs to weigh in because Katie's really good at names.
Yeah,
but
normally
then,
I am.
No, don't Google. No, don't do it because I know the answer. So
is it Clyde?
If what would you get? Because you're very good at
it. Is it Clyde?
Clyde with C-L-Y. Dennis Clyde. That sounds good.
Or Claude. Clyde or Claude.
Claude sounds too like French to me. I like Clyde better. It's like a cowboy kind of. And Dennis is kind of a cowboy. Remember at CrimeCon, he wore that little shirt with the little cowboy things on it?
Is it Sherman?
Ooh.
Is it like a double last name? Is it a double last name
situation? Like, he has three names.
Correct. Like Dennis Sherman Murphy. Names. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it that?
Well, so Christina Morris guessed Edward. Dennis Edward Murphy, which I kind of could hear a mom saying to a young Dennis Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
So then Christina found out the initials J that she Googled or Wikipedia. So then she thought James.
And the initial is J.
And then Katie Bloom got involved, and she was going to get into it. And I guessed Jedediah.
No.
Or Jeremiah.
Why?
I don't know. And then Natalie said she was thinking along the same lines. And then we realized we were both just thinking of the Duggar names.
that's not great.
That's all they're named. Dennis Jeremiah Murphy.
No.
No, doesn't, no.
No.
Did you want to make a guess?
Is it John?
No. It is the name of a Duggar child, though.
Is it really?
Yes. But they've had so many that they run out of J's pretty quick. That's why they have Jeremiah and Jedediah.
And it's not Jefferson.
No. Oh, Dennis or Jefferson Jeffrey. Murphy.
Yeah. See, I feel like he would be a double. Okay. What is it?
It is Joseph. Katie Bloom figured it out, although she thinks he would pick Jethro.
Yeah.
Dennis Jethro Murphy.
Yeah, he's funky. He's right? Got it.
So, we're just going to say it's Jethro.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like how you had to tell me not to Google, and I like immediately pulled up Chrome. It was like, what do we got?
No, that's all. Should we just wrap it up?
We're going to wrap it up. Yep, we're going to wrap it up.
Okay, so I did just want to say we forgot to thank our listener, Lisa, who sent us, and I really haven't shown them to you yet. She sent us a really nice card with a Target gift card and a Chili's gift card.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. That's ridiculous.
I know. How fun is that?
I'm so excited.
I know. We can go to Chili's.
And we get soft pretzels. I bet they have soft pretzel app. You know they do. Yeah. Okay. Done.
And then I can go to Target and get another soft pretzel. Because they sometimes have soft pretzels at Target.
Yes, they do, as certain ones that don't have which.
Except yeah. I'm supposed to be going no carb or low carb. This is really bad
for me.
Do
you want that in or do you want me to take that out?
No, that's fine.
You want me to leave that in because I took it out of the last one.
It's fine.
Okay.
My struggle to go low carb should be left in the podcast and should be part of the people's experience.
And I don't want...
Because it is rough, guys.
Then I need to not tell you about little... Pizza.
I see it on my TV every day and I go, but if you think that's nasty, why is this coming out when I didn't think it was nasty till I heard about the nacho cheese on the main pizza part.
That's the best part, but the crust is not what you want. You do not want any part of that. You would have been disappointed.
But even if I was disappointed, I feel like it would trigger me to then want to seek out a real good soft pretzel. You know what I'm saying?
Then leave it.
When you have a disappointing one, you're like, I need to go to the mall right now and get like a real one. Not the mall. I don't like those oily Annie's pretzels. I want to go to like a movie theater where they have super pretzels.
This is where you and I differ. I love the Wetzel and the Annie's are great.
I love the butter, but they're just not as big. They're just not as girthy as I would
sometimes
like in a soft
pretzel.
Sometimes
they are. They're just not cooking them. No, Wetzel's is girthier than Annie's. One of them is girthier than the others. I'll do a taste test.
Do a taste test because I can't remember. But none of them are as girthy as the super pretzel at a movie theater.
True. Can you have rice?
No, I cannot have rice. This is a nightmare. I'm a vegetarian, guys.
This is a freaking nightmare. Seriously. What are you eating? Like a bok choy? What are you doing?
I don't know.
Bok choy with soy sauce on it?
I don't even know. I had olives and cheese last night.
Can you?
So instead of doing our mailbox and discussing actual things, we've been talking about soft pretzels for 10 minutes. Anywho. Thank you to Lisa so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
And thank you to all of our Patreons. We literally could not do this without you.
Thank you so much.
And the support of all of our listeners. Love you. Follow us on all social media accounts, Twitter especially, new people. It's a riot. We've got some new people signing up on Twitter just to talk with us. And it's great. We've had 3 people this week.
I'm figuring it out. And it's going to be Dateline Katie. Dang it. No, it's not. It's going to be me under some weird name creeping in, trying to see what's up. That's going to be sad.
Okay, everybody. Don't watch alone. Watch while eating a soft pretzel and your night cheese.
Don't watch alone, everybody.
Watch with your Tostitos.
Yeah, watch with your Tostitos. And apparently avoid the Little Caesars for now.
You've been warned.
You've been warned.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Pizza, pizza.